I'm a man of many words today, so raise your hand if your brain is full at some point. You can sleep then. For some, like Moses, a bush catches fire nearby and you have to go investigate. For others, like Saul, on the road to Damascus, a light, like an oncoming locomotive, falls onto you when there's a voice, and after a week of blindness, you're changed, even down to your name. Some, like Harry Potter, get a letter that arrives when you turn 11, a letter that keeps delivering itself to overcome anyone who would try and stop it, a letter that opens a magical world behind the world. Others, like Luke Skywalker, get misdirected intergalactic mail, a message intended for someone else, a cry for help from a princess in distress. And that starts the chain of events that changes an empire. Some, like Helen Keller, suddenly wake up to water running over your hand, and a teacher like Anne Sullivan spelling the word water, and it connects the thing and the word, words as ideas. We all want to be found. We want to hear a call, something that grabs us and shakes us, turns us upside down and empties our pockets, something that rips us out of the mundane and sets us on a road to change the world. We want it to look like a burning bush and a letter from Hogwarts and sound like Niagara Falls and a freight train and your mobile phone ringing. And when you pick it up, the voice on the line says, "I choose you." We want a calling to be intentional and obvious. We want it to be movie material. Or do we? Is tending the sheep for 40 years an okay thing to do? Quietly selling used cars or insurance? Planting pumpkins on the farm? Raising a family in a suburb? Can these choices be callings as well? Have you been called? Is your work your vocation, your calling? Or maybe something less than that? What does it even mean to be called? We are perhaps most familiar with the idea of a divine call. The Bible is filled with various people getting called by God to do something. Moses is called from sheep and goat herding to free Israel from Egypt. Jesus calls the disciples from being fishermen. Priests and pastors are called to their jobs. A call is that divine summons to religious work. In a somewhat less religious sense, we often think of the helping and healing professions as vocations. Nurses, doctors, veterinarians, social workers, scientists dedicated to finding a cure for cancer, teachers, police and rescue workers, any kind of humanitarian work, often underpaid. These are callings and vocations. And then there are the arts. Writers, musicians, actors, painters, those with an inner voice that drive them to create the things that we call art. We still think of these arts as inspired, that something divine is breathed into them. In the song The Craft that we listen to, The Gift of Gab repeats the phrase, "I've been given a gift tonight, and for that, I vow to be a vessel." The artist is the vessel that the divine passes through into the world. Peter Buffett, in the excerpt you heard, uses the writer Bernard Malamud as an example of someone with a vocation, someone who balances the vocation of writing with making a living. We can easily extend the idea of vocation to craftsmanship, those with the skills to build and finish things, furniture making, cooking and baking, haberdashery, cabinetry, stonework, engineering and design. There's an art to making the day-to-day functional things, comfortable shoes, awesome toothbrush technology, the chairs we sit in, a blender that blends when we plug it in, the solidity of a wooden floor or of a roof that doesn't leak. The idea of vocation is not dead, not yet, but aren't we describing a kind of hierarchy here? As the thing that calls us moves from the divine to the humanitarian, to an inner voice, to a personal work ethic, to simply a paycheck, what is being lost? As we replace a work ethic with a wealth ethic and build what Wendell Berry calls the total economy, are we building a world of economic determinism in which every sense of vocation will eventually be dead? Now, I like Peter Buffett. He's a pragmatist, and as he states, if we want our vocations to be our livelihoods rather than hobbies or vague dreams of things we'll get around to someday, then the hard and simple truth is that we have to find a way to make them pay. Working for pay is not a sellout. It is not a compromise. Rather, for Buffett, it is a paradox of selling something and yet still possessing it. So this seems on the face of it to be pretty sound advice. It makes me feel comfortable. Buffett is saying that we should treasure our values, our passions and convictions. We should not give them up just to earn money. He's arguing that a worker needs to take a kind of pride and ownership in the work being done. He is saying that the work itself is part of who the worker is, part of what defines the worker, that it is heartfelt. So as Buffett says, whether it's writing a story or digging a ditch, we need to please the person paying us, but that doesn't make the work any less our own. But what if I'm a writer who is digging ditches in order to earn money so that I can eat and have time to write? Certainly a work ethic tells me to take pride in my ditch digging, even though it is not my vocation. I can bring my tenacity, my pride, my desire for excellence to the work of ditch digging, just as I would bring it to my writing. But at bottom, the disjuncture between ditch digging and writing is huge. And I'm just using the ditch digging to buy time, literally to buy it, with money that I earn. I place a higher value on the writing. This is a personal value, not a monetary value. But that value can only be asserted after my basic needs have been taken care of. If things work out right somehow, I'll move from ditch digging to writing. But if they don't work out, won't the ditch digging subsume my writing? Which scenario is more likely? As much as I agree with Buffett on having a pride and ownership in the work being done, in the end, I think he is dead wrong about needing to please the person paying us. In essence, Buffett is selling out. He is selling out because his own pragmatic requirement is that selling has to be an option. There is a person who is paying us. Work has to have an economic component, a being sold, a way of commanding price. And this requirement that work have a selling value, even if it is work that we feel is a core part of us, which it is not by any means always true, means that his concept of work, and thus of vocation, is tied to the machine of the economy. Now, Wendell Berry sounds like an Old Testament prophet. I haven't seen his picture. He may look like one as well. But he lays out to me what he lays out what he believes are the implicit assumptions in the idea of a global free market economy. The assumptions that make this global free market economy an enemy to work and good economic practice. Assumptions that undermine and take apart Buffett's attempt to create a balance. To repeat two of the evils of this system that we heard previously, that an economy is a machine of which people are merely the interchangeable parts. One has no choice but to do the work, if any, that the economy provides, and to accept the prescribed wage. And that, therefore, vocation is a dead issue. One does not do the work that one chooses to do because one is called to it by heaven or by one's natural or God-given abilities, but does instead the work that is determined and imposed by the economy. Any work is all right as long as one gets paid for it. Now, Buffett is certainly not saying that any work is all right as long as one gets paid for it. He quite clearly indicates that his premise is that workers are balancing their vocation with their livelihood. Berry would argue that Buffett has lost the idea of what vocation actually is as soon as he lets the economic machine in any way play a role. The economic machine specifies the role. It takes choice from the person doing the work. It replaces your values with the values of the marketplace. I would additionally say that Buffett appears to be arguing from a privileged position of having had the economic ability to embark on his vocation as a musician because he was not forced by circumstances to work at a McDonald's or a meatpacking plant or as a ditch digger to survive at all. The existence of a music industry that he can step into simplifies his whole life pursuit. The ability to earn a living is not something everyone has, even outside of one's vocation, to say nothing of being able to do so within a vocation. So let me back up a moment. Why are we talking about vocation at all? At bottom, it's because I want to justify what I do in the world. I want there to be meaning to what I do. And I think this is true of all of us. I would like to talk about my vocation with some of the same self-satisfaction that Peter Buffett does. I want to be able to explain to myself why, if I was asked what my vocation is and what I do for a living, that there would be two different answers. What do I do for a living? I work as a systems administrator for the corporate offices of a company called Telephone Data Systems. That is, I take care of computer systems that, among other things, make sure you get your phone bills. Is this a job I am called to? That anyone on earth is called to? I can assure you I don't feel called to it. This is a job that the machine of the economy provides. It's a good job, it's a good company, and it pays the bills. And what is my vocation? Well, that's a harder question for me. At one time I might have said I'm a poet or a writer, not because it's a job, but because it is something I do without being paid, something I want to do. I would have made the distinction between my job and my vocation by saying, writing is something I live to do, not that I do to live. I don't sell it. If there were no other demands on my life, I would still do it. Very, for me, is accusatory of the life I'm living. After all, when I read an essay like The Idea of a Local Economy, I feel like I ought to dump my job, go out, buy some land, and farm. But I don't do this. Barry makes me uncomfortable, dissatisfied. I want to argue with him because I don't want him to be right, because I don't think that the global economy in itself is in itself the death of vocation or the enemy of the natural world to human health and freedom, to industrial workers and to farmers, or that it is inherently an enemy to good work and good economic practice. Could it be? Yes. Does it behave as Barry describes it? Yes. There is a logic of destruction to it that needs to be contained, that we need to understand and to deal with. While Buffett gives me some comfort with his pragmatism, and for me, a bit too much platitude with life is what you make it, he undermines what he offers by proposing the ability to sell your vocation. I think he has the weaker view of what a vocation is. Barry, even after making me feel on one level that I have sold out or made myself a puppet to the global free market economy that will destroy even the possibility of vocation, presents two ideas that I keep coming back to. One, that justice and vocation are inseparable. And two, that to work is to pray. Barry does not take time in his essay to explicate what either of these two statements might fully mean. So this is my attempt to unravel them. How are justice and vocation linked to each other? Think of the calling of Moses. Moses is mired in a kind of complacency, tending the sheep and goats. It's a good job. It pays the bills. But along comes God in a burning bush, and God says, there are people suffering, and I've decided to do something about it. I'm sending you, Moses, to Egypt to free them. The call that comes to Moses is from outside him. It rises from the suffering of the people of Israel, from their calling out and praying to God, and it passes to Moses as a demand to bring about justice. The call is not about Moses. It is about the need for justice in the community that he has fled, but is still tied to. Vocation, Barry is saying, is not about a job, no matter how heartfelt. Vocation is not about me, as if I were the only thing in the world. It is not about me in isolation or with a singularity of focus to writing or ditch digging. It is about relationship. Relationship to other people, to places, to all the things around me. It is about relationship to where I am right now, to my immediate community and locality. It is not about accumulation of wealth or even finding personal happiness and satisfaction. It is outwardly focused. It is a call from something outside myself, through me, to something outside of myself, something for which I am a vessel. It is about me speaking for the things around me. What are the words that Barry uses? Justice, service, sanctity, reverence. These are the ways that I ought to behave in the world. And if I can behave this way, even when I am working for the man, or the global free market economy. I have a vocation. Vocation is not a compartment to your life tied to your job. It is your whole life. What I do to live and what I live to do both have to be taken into account and refocused through a community that proposes an economy based on values, justice, service, sanctity, reverence, the inherent worth and dignity of everyone. This is how I find meaning in my life, in what I do. We are practicing our vocation right now. Are you called to this community? To LCUUC? Maybe you don't feel you were called this morning because there was no burning bush or lost droid or letter from Hogwarts, but you're here by choice and intention. Does this community call out through you? Does it pass through you to wherever you go and to whatever you do? Whether or not the words say it properly or completely, I think the gift of gab makes me feel what it's like to have a vocation. So how does he say it? Like this. This craft, this beat, this rhyme, this vibe, this style. They say music gives new life from a source inside that is forever flowing. This stage, this mic, this crowd, this show, this life, I've been given a gift tonight, and for that, I vow to be a vessel. Barry says that to work is to pray. Take that idea with you. Explore it. And think about this. We will be installing our minister here today at LCUUC, a minister we called. We are so wrapped up sometimes in the idea of a calling coming to us that we forget that we too are calling. We are so busy listening that we forget that we can speak. To work is to pray. To pray is to speak out our own desires into existence. To call out. To pray is to create a ministry and to give thanks for it.